Yeah, so let's go to the top. So Deshu and Steph. So Deshu, you're a GP.
Yes.
Right. And Steph, you're a nutritional therapist, correct?
Yeah.
Yes. So tell me about how you got to know each other. So maybe Steph, you know, you'd tell us your journey with Deshu.
Okay, so I work for Nuffield Health as a nutritional therapist, and I work on different sites. And Deshu was working as a GP at Nuffield Health at the time. And so we were at a medical centre in Canary Wharf, and there's quite a few physiologists and doctors, and then there's just one nutritional therapist. So I got to know Deshu from being on the same site, and obviously we got talking in the lunchroom, and we would share a kind of, you know, ideas or kind of just what we were about, and got to know each other. And then I would probably kind of have something, I think the first thing, something came up for me and a client, so I might go to Deshu, knock on her door, see if she was free, and say, I've got, you know, a client maybe with a thyroid issue, can you give me your thoughts, or how should I approach this, or testing, or can we get a thyroid test done here? So we just started to kind of talk about certain issues, or she might have a client, and then she's like, I think you need to go and see Steph, so refer. So that was the kind of start, really.
Well, I mean, that's what's brilliant. That is brilliant, and how it should absolutely operate, yeah. Shouldn't it? Which is, of course, you know, what you, Deshu, you know, as a GP is absolutely marvellous at, of course, is all your in-depth, really in-depth knowledge in terms of the physiology and all sorts of other things. And we as nutritional therapists, I mean, for example, I'm an old-fashioned nutritional therapist. I've trained in the last century. So, you know, I come from an arts background. Totally from an arts background. My degree is history, English, and my A-levels were history, English, and geography. And my degree is in history and politics. There's nothing to do with nutrition. And of course, I had to go back and do all the training in biochemistry and stuff like that. But still, I come from an arts background. I mean, and that's really good, actually, because it gives you that creative mindset and all the rest of it. But at the same time, obviously, I'm very weak on my physiology. Let's not beat about the bush. So how did you find that partnership, Deshu? I mean, what did you find interesting in that?
Oh, I found, I could offload all my patients, you know, people who wanted weight loss, or those who had, you know, bowel problems and we'd ruled out everything else. It would be like, I think you need to see Steph. But then I think I also found that it was just not about only bowel related issues, that it was also about things like thyroid. And so I was learning from Steph, and you know, I learned a lot. I have to say, the first time I actually knew Steph was around was there was this brown gunge that was sitting in the kitchen. It was in this plastic, and I looked at this thing and I thought, what on earth is this? And I thought, then Steph kind of whizzes in, and I'm like, what is that thing? And then she rocks into this whole load of nutrition stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, so this stuff is good for you then. Clearly it is.
What was it, Steph?
I was going to say, I think I was experimenting at the time with butternut squash and like a chocolate mousse. And so I brought it in for lunch, and I was like, do you want to try it, Deshu? She was like, no, I'm all right, thanks.
I'll be fine. Yes, I mean, let's not forget that, of course, a big part of our passion is around food, you know, and that's in experimentation. So, yeah, knowledge through experimentation, I think. So what was I going to say? Yeah, so you know, this is fantastic. So you know, I love that, because when I worked in Harley Street, which was a long time ago, and I still have the nutrition coach clinic, actually, which is run by my incredible colleague Kaylee Pedrick. But we used to go around the doctors, and although actually a lot of the doctors were open to looking at nutrition, but one particular doctor said something like, nutrition has no bearing on human health whatsoever. I mean, literally, those were his kind of words. I might be quoting him a little bit out of there, but really just did not see the connection. Although, of course, you know, just stepping back for just 1 minute, you might think that there is. Even if you're looking at starvation, you're thinking, and that's probably got some connection with health, hasn't it? You know, but it's, no, it's just completely, absolutely dismissed. Because, of course, you know, doctors are looking for pathology, and we're not looking necessarily for pathology, we're looking at function, which is, you know, it's two sides of the same coin, but from a very different point of view. So Deshu, you know, talk a little bit about your journey now, of how, because now you're thinking, and as I believe it, this call is really about the exploration of an idea, really, and the explanation of the idea is to see whether there's appetite, excuse the pun, for using your knowledge as a GP to look at these in-depth sort of courses around what nutritional therapists might want to know around physiology and other such medical disciplines that we don't know much about, you know, really concentrating on that. Is that correct? Have I got the right statistic? So let's explore a little bit around that. So how did you sort of transition from that Nuffield Centre into thinking about what you want to do today?
Well, I caught the virus in March 2020 and I was very, very ill with it.
And it just shows that different experience, you know. I hope you don't mind me sort of dismissing the whole thing as, oh, I had a headache, but it's interesting actually how it's really affected different people. How was your vitamin D status, actually, as a matter of interest? Was it? Did you know? Was there a reason, or you think there was no reason, or was it stress contributing to the outcome, or you can't really pin it down to anything?
So I've looked into. Excuse me, I've looked into the details of healing, actually, and I've realized that for healing to occur, we have to give the body the environment where it can heal. If one is in a default of fight, flight, or stress, that body is not going to heal unless you push it into a parasympathetic healing drive. And that does not happen overnight. It's a state of being that comes with stepping away from the stress and what can I say, the stressful environment that seems to be the norm these days.
I think, you know, without sounding too woo-woo, which I'm very grounded, as anybody will know, but I, you know, I'm reading quite a lot at the moment about the spiritual aspects actually to this whole crisis, you know, which I mean, you know, I think what's happened with me over this whole crisis is my eyelids, my eyes have been firmly prized open to how we can be in a valley of knowledge without even knowing that the other side of the valley is a whole nother story. So, you know, I think there was, when we chatted before, that you did refer to, I think, a sort of spiritual aspect of this.
So because I had been practicing, I did the mindfulness-based cognitive therapy teacher training with a view to, you know, helping my patients. But so as a result, I was doing a daily practice of mindfulness, a daily practice of yoga. And within 6 months, I found that I was in a kind of different place. I went from being completely kind of stressed to slightly, you know, taking things easier, but also having more awareness. So when I fell ill, it took me about 5-6 months, but I recovered fully, completely, 100%. And then, of course, I went back to work and I found that I couldn't. So every time I went back, I kept kind of falling ill or crashing, or there was something going on with my health and I would have to come back. So this went on from October until January. In January, and literally I was ill every 2 weeks. In January, I decided I needed to just heal myself. I needed to find out what was going on with me. So I asked for a year off work and Nuffield gave it to me. And in that year off, I did a lot of research. I wanted to know about the body's healing capacity, because we know about fight flight. We know about the sympathetic drive, but do we really understand the impact it has on healing? So I thought, because I also do conservation, I go to Africa and I like to be on the game reserves. So I thought about, you know, a gazelle running away from a lion, you know, their body is in survival mode, that is fight flight. And I thought about then that gazelle falling ill, you know, it's a body that's not going to recover because the body physiologically changes, every single cell changes in alignment with fight flight. And then when I reflected on my own life, I knew I had been in fight flight from the time I stepped out of A-levels because it has been performance, 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 ambition, you know, qualification after qualification, surrounded by people who have exactly the same ambitions and the same drive and the same will, you know, that drives us to this state of perfection, which clearly doesn't exist. So I then researched as to how I could push myself into the parasympathetic drive, which is the opposite of the fight flight. And I realized that practices like yoga, meditation, pranayama, the chanting, the mantra, that all of this was designed to bring the body back into the parasympathetic drive. So when I realized this, I thought, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. So I was doing like 3 hours of meditation, 3 hours of mantra, an hour of yoga. I stopped watching any kind of, you know, violent TV programs. I was very choosy about who I kept in touch with. I kind of immersed myself in a completely different state of being. 6 months later, I was a different person.
Wow, that's so inspiring. So Steph, what about you? Are you already into this world, if you like, the sort of much more spiritual aspect of this, of healing?
Yes, to a certain extent. I practice meditation and have done for years. I don't do as much yoga as I would like, but it's definitely part of kind of what I'm about and my lifestyle. It does come into obviously our recommendations to a certain extent, but it doesn't go as obviously with nutritional therapy. There's only a certain kind of point we can get to. If somebody I feel is quite spiritual and they do those practices, then I may have a conversation about them. But it's, I feel like with nutritional therapy, you can only go a certain point with most clients with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously as well. I mean, I think it's, you know, not a mistake exactly, but I think from, you know, I mentioned that obviously I'm an kind of an old-fashioned, you know, I mean, this might be a bit controversial, but the other day I was filling in a form and it said, you know, you have to put your gender and all this kind of thing. It said, what do you identify as? And I said, old-fashioned. It's like, made me laugh because I'm like, I was just like, well, you know, this is like way too much for me. It was my 60th birthday or last week. I'm just an old fart, you know, let's face it. But anyway, that aside, it's difficult, isn't it, to open up these conversations. I mean, you know, it's meaning, you know, you're trying to stick to nutritional therapy, and in a way it's our insecurity about being accepted. I'm sure this is not where you're coming from, but it's like, and then you start sort of getting your crystals out and flapping them around. Although actually I'm just about to buy myself a crystal today, you know, just secretly. But we don't do that with our clients, because otherwise you'd just be like, I mean, laughed out of town. We want to be taken seriously. Do you resonate with that?
I do absolutely resonate with that. And I think it is on, like, if I know the client is that way inclined, or the conversation naturally goes there, then I'm happy to have that conversation and just to find out where they're at and what they do, and potentially the importance of that. If they have tapped into that healing power or that kind of that way of healing, then I kind of encourage it. But there's a lot of clients that sit in front of us who just aren't going to be in that place. And that's when the conversation doesn't go there, and I don't necessarily, because we've got limited time as well. You know, if I had hours and hours with them, we might get there at some point. But at this point, they've come to me for an hour and a half. And so I focus on the issue that they want to bring. So.
Absolutely. And also it's a sort of working up the pyramid of, if you like, if there was a pyramid of actualization or something, you know, where you're reaching this kind of self-actualization, then of course you're starting at this very basic level, which is through food. I mean, right. I really think actually food is a very spiritual discipline. And by the way, I'm so grounded. I'm a Taurean. I'm completely grounded. I'm really a skeptic, and I always keep my feet firmly on the ground, you know. But, you know, I'm very open to different ideas. I think that's the thing. But I think, you know, actually, so food, I think, is a very, very big spiritual discipline. I mean, it's in all the religions, you know, obviously, as something that is a connection to something higher than just, you know, the base atoms of the food, you know. But that aside, so, that sounds like a big journey for you, Deshu. So from the point of view of sort of how are we going to use your lovely knowledge and also your openness now, in effect, you've come over to the light, as we would say, from the dark side, you know, like Luke, or somebody, I don't know, you know, I mean, somebody from Star Wars or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you're Yoda or somebody now, you know. How are you going to help us? I mean, what can you offer us, do you think? I mean, and what the discussion, I'd love you to sort of come in, Steph, to say, look, how can Deshu help us as a group, you know, from her courses that she's planning?
So I thought about this.
So maybe Steph or with Deshu, wherever you want to start. Yeah.
I had a conversation.
Deshu, do you want to start?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm
confusing everybody.
It's okay.
I had a conversation with Steph about this, and today I actually thought about it because, yes, the knowledge is there, and I think on lots of levels, it was like it's something we take for granted, so I didn't quite know that it was anything special until kind of Steph sat me down and kind of went through stuff with me, and I was like, oh, okay. So we did this little list, and what I thought about is that, I don't know, I just thought about maybe a subscription site type of thing where nutritionists pay an amount to subscribe. And then I run, we'll say, 2 teaching sessions a month based on whatever, you know, whatever topics they want done. But we also run a Facebook group in parallel so that if they get stuck, and it's an emergency type of situation, then you can kind of message me or, you know, put it out to the group and, you know, get not just my support, but also the group's support as well, so that everybody's talking to each other. That was just something. The other option is, of course, just to have like teaching sessions with 10 people. I don't know. Steph, what are your thoughts?
Well, we were brainstorming, and I was saying that, you know, sometimes a lot of us are quite isolated in our work, and we work alone. And when I'm writing a letter to a GP, I've got usually questions. Sometimes I take it to my supervision and get support there. But it's like, you know, we write the letters and we just don't know what we're getting back. Like you said, Kate, earlier, we can get some quite abrupt replies or no reply at all. And yeah. So having that kind of, I was thinking with Deshu, for me, I was saying, well, it'd be quite nice to be like having someone to go to and say, having a mentor session and saying, listen, I've got this client case. This is where I'm at. Do I need to contact the GP? How do I word it? We were taught how to write letters in college, but that was probably quite an old school maybe way of doing it. Maybe, you know, it feels quite dated now. Maybe we're not taking into consideration the little time that GPs have. And maybe a lot of us as well aren't as assertive as perhaps we could be. We are very, you know, we tiptoe around them because we don't know if the approach or the response we're going to get. So I just thought, you know, she's got this resource, she's got all this knowledge. How lovely would it be to tap into it? I don't know what way, but for me, like the mentoring, I thought might be one way.
So. Well, I think that's really good. I mean, I think that's sort of top line. I think also, I think as well in terms of, I think, so because it's in a sense we're asking you, the viewers or the listeners, to feedback on this. And I think, Steph, yeah, you could very, and we were just saying before you came on that, you know, of course you can use the nutrition network to ask the questions, like do a little survey. You know, we'd be very happy if you contacted Anna Lee for her to either arrange that for you or for you to do it yourself, you know, a little survey to say, okay, if you were looking for in effect, GP support on how we approach this. What would be of interest to you? So of course you can do that without, you know, because, you know, it's, we do anything that helps our members, you know, obviously, as you know. So, and I think that certainly does, but I think you're right about the letters, and I think you're, but also I think about there are certain big, without going to the whole biochemistry of the whole body, which obviously is kind of complicated, is actually there's obviously various kind of hubs that we really focus on. I mean, obviously the big one is the digestion. So presumably it's, you know, looking at, well, drug interactions, that's a really big one, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And stop me if I'm sort of, you're going, yeah, that's really obvious. Okay. But drug interactions is major, I think. And I think it scares people because I think people are on this polypharmacy now that is beyond, you know, a kind of like, how do you start with this and how it interacts with nutrients, for example. People are scared of that, I think. And I think also, what's the word, how that affects other things. So from that hub of the digestion, things like the vagus nerve and the, you know, I don't know, other things that affect, you know, maybe the kidneys, which we hardly ever touch on, you know, that stem out from that sort of hub of the digestion. And then, of course, I think the big other one is thyroid, you know, which, again, a lot of us encounter, but perhaps aren't. Don't know the ins and outs and the you know, and how it interacts with the adrenal glands, for example, you know, how it actually does interconnect and how you might be able to communicate these quite esoteric, if you like, kind of concepts to, because it's a functional concept, it's not a pathological concept, to a doctor, to get them to take notice that in effect what you're saying it is relevant to them. What do you think of that, which is working these hubs, if you like? I mean, they definitely think that the first port of call is the digestion. What do you think, Steph?
No, I absolutely agree with what you're saying. And think what was coming to mind when you were talking about the thyroid is like, I think it's quite common in clinic to see people have their levothyroxine increase. And we're thinking, well, it's not doing anything, or it's not being converted, or it's not happy. And it's like, well, what do we do about that? How do we communicate that to a GP who's not going to be thinking in that way? And potentially then having Deshu, I don't know how this would work, and we weren't sure when we spoke, but having Deshu almost back us up or in some way, or provide us with that evidence of what a GP would take on board, or that kind of thing. So
this is effortless. This is very easy to do. Excuse me. Plus, I have access to the GP groups all over the UK. So it's also very easy for me to put this out to the GP groups and say, look, guys, how do you want to hear this message? Which way would you want to hear this? I mean, excuse me. I think what, for me, what struck me, because I've known Steph for so long now, is that we look at a certain problem in two different aspects. And I think it's not about which one is better and which one is not. It's about looking at a patient in a holistic way and having the time to do that. And GPs don't have the time to do that, let's face it. But if somebody is doing it and we do pick stuff up, like for example, the common one I picked up on was bloating. So bloating in a woman of, we'll say, whatever, 45-year-olds coming to you with bloating. Now, the way my head would work, first thing, 45-year-old, family history, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, new onset. You know what? That would be the first thing in my head. Rule out ovarian cancer. But clearly, that's not going to be the same thing for a nutritionist. But so we're going to look at this one problem from two different aspects. But that letter to the GP saying, look, I've seen this patient, she's got new onset bloating. This is my perspective from nutrition, but I think she needs to be followed up, is vital.
I think that's really true, because also as well, I think, and again, I think this is slightly changed, hasn't it, over time, as you as a GP have got less and less time to kind of come up with what it might be, is that the tendency is to go full nuclear and quite right, probably, you know, meaning you're going full nuclear, meaning you're going like, oh my God, it's ovarian cancer. Whereas we're thinking, oh, maybe she's eaten some beans that didn't agree with her. It's like, you know, we're going to the two ends of the spectrum. So and that's what we're not obviously trained for, or we can't give an opinion on or anything. We don't know if it's ovarian cancer. So of course that does need to be checked. But if you've only got 15 minutes to assess somebody, you're going to go for the very most serious thing, because you can always work backwards from the very most serious thing. You can't if you're dismissed. And later on, it's found that it is ovarian cancer. Of course, you're in big trouble, you know, and I'm sure that's why, you know, even my experience of GPs, you know, in the old days, they literally used to just dismiss almost everything, you know, just say, ah, you're fine, get off my, do you know what I mean? It's gone sort of the other end of the spectrum because of this time, I think, that you no longer have as a GP. But of course, you know, working with a nutritional therapist, I think that's great. I mean, I think what we can do at the network is first of all, you can, Steph, ask the question, what would our members really, really be interested in terms of the education and the support and all the rest of it? But Deshu, you could come on, you know, as a regular ish guest, you know, maybe once every 6 weeks, and we could do a seminar, which is pique everybody's interest, so that you can from that get people to sign up to your thing. You know, I think that would be useful for our members, but also hopefully useful for you to get people sort of who know who you are as a sort of semi-regular, because it's so nice to see a GP kind of on our side of the fence, you know. And of course we here at the network accept anybody who's got the patient ultimately in mind, which is actually dietitians and nutritional therapists and anybody really, chiropractors who have nutrition as a modality, you know, we would accept them, you know, 3-year qualification at the network. But apart from that, we're happy to have that, you know, not lose sight of the fact it's not us, it's not about us. It's not about if we're right or wrong. It's not about if we've got the right modality. It's just really about helping people, isn't it? That's why we're all in this game.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. I think it's also not about kind of, because that's what we used to do, Steph, isn't it? I used to get this little bit of paper out because I always think better when I write. So I used to write everything down, and then Steph would give me her bits, and then I would give her my bits, and we would kind of almost brainstorm this problem, as it were.
I think it's just marvelous. And I just think, you know, and I wonder, Deshu, is, you know, I mean, I don't know, I'm just spinning this out here, but with your networks to the GPs, is if again, perhaps this is an idea, is to run courses, you too, in effect, on this for the doctors. At least they're not going to obviously have time to invest, meaning if you can get it even as a CPD thing, mm-hmm. you know, for them. Do you know what I mean? Actually, that's really powerful, I think. I mean, I wonder if, sorry, I'm spinning ideas here, but is it useful to spin ideas? Is it useful? Yeah. But, you know, like the Royal Society of Medicine, for example, who we are actually, as nutritional therapists, we are, or you can be an associate member of the Royal Society of Medicine. So they're not absolutely, what do you call it, antagonistic to our type of thing. But I just wondered, you know, they do courses, and they have a diet, they have a section through them which is CPD'd, and I wonder if you can approach them, because that is quite interesting, because at the moment it's done with dietitians, and sometimes, you know, right at the beginning of this pandemic, for example, talking about vitamin D with somebody who was a dietitian on massively dismissing the vitamin D thing, massively dismissing it. I mean, of course, I know what, you know, the narrative has dismissed that, but it's still actually, even if you were just using vitamin D generally, you know, it's just like you can't really, with all the papers and research on vitamin D, think it isn't really relevant in terms of nutrition and diet, or in terms of what it does in the body. I just don't think you can dismiss it, but it was being really roundly dismissed because of the way the papers were being interpreted. So again, I think that's an avenue, which is not to come in and sort of challenge that in a massively controversial way, but it's just gently getting this PR, if you like, to say, well, actually, I work with Steph, who's a nutritional therapist. This is how we approach things, and get the doctors to engage in that, because then I know it's a big task, but then you've got the sort of, oh, okay, these people, they're people to be looked at. You know, do you see what I mean? It's a PR game, really. But you might get doctors signing up actually for money, obviously, who would pay a lot more than nutritional therapists.
So I'm going to probably differ with that, simply because there's a, okay, so when you're a busy GP, and I used to run clinics with 22 patients of a morning, I have zero time to know about their nutrition, and really I don't want to know, because I just want to make sure that they're safe to walk out that room. However, if I know that there is a nutritionist who does X, Y, Z and is happy to take my referral and my patient is happy to see them, it will be relief.
Absolutely. But I'm not thinking of it as a sort of education session in one way. I'm just thinking, you know, it's really a CPD session, not for the doctor to do the nutrition part. Absolutely not. But for the doctor to understand why the nutritional therapist is relevant for them to say, listen, not my problem. Here you go. And get that busy, you know, the busy practice in effect to say, ah, these people mean business. This is how these people think. Actually, they can work with GPs, and actually, this is interesting to us, you know, as opposed to it being that the doctors would actually do that. But you know, maybe that's for another stage too. But I just think the way, in effect, doctors do CPD, obviously, they do pay for CPD. And actually, it doesn't, as I say, it doesn't have to be that they are giving the solution. It's really that they go, what are those people called again?
Awareness.
Yes, those are those people who I can say, you know, oh, I got a letter from one of those people the other day. That's interesting. But, you know, they do obviously understand what they're talking about. You know, obviously that's a much longer trail. But as I say, they do, doctors will pay good money for CPD. So, you know, anyway, I throw it out there as a sort of, maybe stage two, you know, but because otherwise we have a problem always, which is because we're not understood, we tend to be, we can easily be dismissed.
No, that's what I can, that bit I can kind of put it across. I think what we should do probably once we get this going and once we have lots of others in is to almost devise a set of like guidelines, as it were, like, you know, you can refer for X, Y, Z, you know, this problem, this we can take on, rule out this, then send the patient. So that they would, it's very easy for them. They just refer to
there this. Go. Yeah, absolutely. We're the heart sink patient, aren't we? We're the sort of, absolutely. Yep. You don't know, as a GP, somebody's come in, they're tired, they're knackered, you know, you've done everything, you've done the test, you've ruled out this, that and the other, the pathology, and then you're like, well, I don't know, you know, try sleeping more.
But you know, we could do that. We could devise a set of guidelines that would make their life easier. From a CPD perspective, our CPDs are expensive, so the way they run it is we have like a whole day of topics, and we just kind of, it's just run the whole day. So whether they would pay extra to listen to a nutrition session, I don't know. My instinct says no, unless we get a pharmaceutical company to sponsor it. But I'm not into big pharma at all. I have a conflict of interest with them. I'm trying to step away from them. So unless, of course, we just, I think the guidelines would be the first thing to go, because it would make their life so much easier.
Absolutely. I think it's just that sort of, in a way, that gentle PR, because I think that the receiving end of that is people who are going to take nutritional therapists seriously, or they're going to just go, oh, God almighty, you know, what's this sort of quackery here?
That would come from, so I have enough behind my name, I think, too, for them to sit up and take notice.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking, you know, which is, even if you came up with the guidelines, that would be something. But also, I think it's how you so-called sell it to the doctors as well, which is, you know, it's almost like, so, I mean, again, obviously the language is important, but if you sort of say, we've got this nutrition session, they're like, God, I just don't have time for that. I mean, to my point, which is, you know, the doctor's dismissing, the doctor, the Harley Street doctor saying, oh, it's got absolutely no relevance in health whatsoever, you know, that sort of end of the spectrum. But I was thinking more that if you say something like, you know, your heart sink patients, absolutely. finding solution to your heart sink patients, you know, they're like, yes, finally, yes. I've got somebody, you know, it's all in the so-called marketing of it. If you just sell it as a nutrition session, yep. Even I think I wouldn't turn up to that, you know, do you know what I mean? I'll be like, oh my God, you know, or we've heard it all, or it's going to be about calories or, so I think it is about in the marketing, but there you go. Yeah.
And the same for like IBS.
Yes, IBS. It's a fantastic one. It, you know what I mean? It's the selling of it. So it is sort of like, how would we sort of, you know what I mean by selling it? It's the how you phrase it, because it's kind of like, it's like, you know, it's like clinical solutions to IBS, you know. Wow. You know.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong, there are doctors who are extremely patronizing, even to other doctors. And that's just the way some of them just think that they, you know, it is what it is. But a majority of doctors, I think, are just overworked.
Sure.
So that's just it. So because they're so overworked, it's like, are you going to reduce my workload or not?
Exactly. But it's, even if it's a short piece, i.e. they're not sort of having a sort of 2-hour investment in a hugely long thing that they're not really interested in. It is about that sort of like, oh, how do we address these people's solutions? This is how we do it. But getting them to pay for it, you know, because I think there is, you know, that they do have a budget for CPD. They need to do CPD, and you might as well, you know, what you call it, get that audience in at the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
because you know, for us as nutritional therapists, as Steph knows, our budgets are really stretched because we're having to find the money out of our own pockets all the time. So it's just about, you know, finding the value, which I think we would, but I think it's got to come from both ends of the spectrum, is my feeling. But you know, it's interesting about the what you were saying about the, so it's almost like a bandwidth thing, which is, and my husband is the same, frankly. Where is he? No, but I mean, meaning he's a surveyor. I mean, nothing to do with what I do. He has not got 1 ounce of bandwidth left for me to insert anything else other than actually me showing him what to eat, i.e. cooking it and giving it to him on a plate. That's it. He's not interested. He's never been interested. We have a very successful marriage. Because if we don't talk about things like that, he's like, not interested. Fine, I'm not going to tell you then. Eat this, you know. So I think it's the same with the doctors, isn't it? Wouldn't you say? Steph, what's your experience there?
I agree. And from what Deshu's told me, it's kind of changed my kind of approach, I suppose. And it's just, what can we do to make it easier? And some, that's why I think my attitude's changed to letters. It's not like just giving all the evidence or backing it all up. It's like, they haven't got the time. It's kind of being a bit more direct maybe, or a bit of like, how is this going to help you for this patient? Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think you're right, which is all of the letter writing, even I was taught 20 years ago, is all comes from an insecurity about who we are, actually. Yeah. And actually, yeah. I think we should be a lot more kind of like, you know, obviously if you ask for the evidence, come up with it. But actually to spend 50 billion hours on coming up with the evidence where you've not been asked for it, you know, come up with the evidence afterwards, or say that you can reference the evidence if they want it. But it's completely a waste of time, that, you know, that torturous day-long thing. Yeah. And that's why nutritional therapists don't write more letters to their doctor or involve them. Mm. Because A, they think they're going to be dismissed. B, you know, they've only got 10 minutes for themselves to allow to write that letter. And they don't want to really so-called waste that time out of the fee that, in effect, the patient has paid them or the client has paid them to kind of have that down the lavatory, you know, I mean, meaning the doctor might not even look at it.
Absolutely.
So it's just a waste. It feels like it's a waste of time.
Yeah.
just to kind of, so like I said, on one day, I would sometimes look at 50, 60, 70 letters. So you just have time to look to know what's important. And sometimes what happens with letters is nutritionists would write and go into details about, you know, what they advise the patient and et cetera, and nobody has time to go through the waffle. So there's a way of writing a letter where just the important points stand out. So you just looking at that one sheet, we don't have to look at any of the mundane stuff. You just see what's important because it jumps out at you. And the consultants, the hospital consultants, some of them, don't get me wrong, constantly waffle. And it's really annoying because you can end up missing something. But the others, what they do is it's really clear. Do this. This is your diagnosis. Everything else is waffle, which you can ignore, basically. Yes. So
exactly. And it's a bandwidth problem again, isn't it, really? It's just like doctors do not have the bandwidth. And it's nothing, you know, in effect, they have to stick, just like us, really. We have to stick to our area of expertise. And, you know, we were talking about the spiritual dimension earlier. You know, we don't have the bandwidth for that because whilst it may be completely relevant, absolutely, we just don't have the bandwidth because we're only being tasked with the nutrition in effect at that point, which is the same in effect in macrocosm for the doctors. You know, they just don't have the bandwidth. So let's get into the communication that allows that chink of light to kind of open up some kind of door and be able to make an impact that way. So as we're kind of coming to the top of the session in one way, so we've really talked about, I suppose, summarizing. I mean, I think it's really exciting, actually. So, and we must follow up on this because everything's about follow up, isn't it? So Dashu, you know, we would love to have you as a guest, you know, as a sort of fairly regular slot, if you're open to it.
Absolutely.
To get people interested in these conversations about how the sort of physiology, biochemistry, everything might be able to impact. And I think we can just do little taster sessions for them, you know, if they're interested to sign up with you, obviously, for something longer and more significant. Yeah. And also to ask people to join your gang in terms of what you might be able to offer. And I think it's really important, Steph, if you wanted to be involved, because I think having the nutritional therapist there is such a lovely partnership there. And also from your point of view, Steph and Dashu, is to, you know, do that sort of questionnaire. I mean, you can do it through us, you know, meaning Annalie will help, or from yourself, and just get a sense of what it is that would, you know, the nutritional therapist would really find useful.
Yeah. That would be
amazing. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to add? I mean, do you think there's something we've missed? What
Steph?
Yeah. So tell me, Dashu.
I don't think so.
No.
Was there anything you wanted to mention?
The only thing I wanted to mention was that I'm going to create this masterclass on, or basically, I'm going to run these masterclasses on creating change. So I know that there's the whole coaching template, but there's a lot more to mindset than is the coaching template. And a lot of this is based on physiology, really, the way the human body functions. So I was going to run that because I thought it would be particularly for someone who, like, you know, when you're seeing patients and you want them to behave in a particular way, the physiology comes into effect if you really want to maximize that.
So give us an example of what you mean by that. You mean, you know, posture or something, breathing, obviously, you know, meaning somebody comes in to your office, Steph, and they say, look, I've got IBS. You say, look, do these things, you know, top line things. And then next time you see them, they haven't done anything. You're like, what? Why would you put up with that? You just, you know, as we are, because we're quite practical as nutritional therapists, you're like, just get a grip. You know, what's your problem, really? You're not saying that, but you might be thinking it. So Dashu, how would that fit in to your
So basically, plan? From a physiological perspective, for change to occur, it has to align with thoughts, emotions, behaviors, and habits. The human body takes its stimuli, or the mind takes its knowledge from the environment and the people we surround ourselves with, the job we do. So if we do not, so we might have a thought, okay, you know what, there's something going on with my bowel, you know, whatever thought it is, I want this stopped, I'm going to control it. But if that thought is not followed or aligned with an action, with an emotion, and a look at your surrounding environment, the work that you do, the home life, this person could be having complete trauma at home, basically. So if we don't look at the whole picture, then you're flogging a dead horse, really. And this person in front of you needs to understand the mindset of change. They, because lots of people, I think they come to maybe a nutritionist or a therapist and they think, right, they can sort me out. Doesn't work like that. So
yeah. But it's really interesting because actually nutrition, you know, nutritional therapy of all the disciplines in complementary health, shall we say, is one that we obviously, and the reason I chose it actually in many ways is that you don't have to touch people's feet. You know, that was my big thing. I was thinking, oh, reflexologist, oh no, I don't want to do that, or a massage person, no, I don't want to do that, I just want a nice chat with somebody. But that's, you know, part of it is that, which is, it's an inspirational conversation, really. And it, of course, you have knowledge to back up that inspirational conversation. You can't get them to change, it's absolutely useless, you know, everything is useless. And hence why my business, actually the clinical side is the nutrition coach, which is all about that coaching aspect. But I didn't really have a particular methodology, as it sounds like you have behind that, Dashu.
It's well, because I have looked at the way I have had to change. And so everything I'm kind of teaching is what I have learned in these 15 months. I've learned more than I think I've ever learned through my time as a medic. It's just because even with something like healing, I mean, I have to say it's really bad, it's unhealthy, but you know, the relationship we have with a patient is, here's your medication, or go hang around, maybe this is just going to go in a couple of weeks and then come back if it's no better. Now, this is not enough, let's face it, it is not enough. So when I became the patient, you know, you're at the receiving end of all this and you realize how one needs so much more. One needs to understand what mindset is all about, without which this isn't going to happen. Or it might happen temporarily, but then boom, you're back again to square one.
Absolutely, which is interesting, because all of the way that medicine, or at least conventional medicine is going into telemedicine. I mean, it was, I think the whole, you know, this whole period has been very interesting, how it's really driven this telemedicine revolution. But I mean, what this cutting out really is the chemistry between the patient and the doctor. You know, actually, that is, you know, the actual feeling and things like trust, or things like empathy, or you know, it's very difficult to get A in a short amount of time. But B, obviously, through the wires. I mean, it's really difficult to feel, you know, and I wonder if you both have this experience, which is, somebody can walk into your office and you're like, you're not telling me the whole thing here, are you?
Yeah.
You know, there's something else. What is it? And you can only, I think, get that feeling. Do you resonate with that, Dashu, that feeling where you haven't got the time as a GP? Have you ever had that experience?
Oh, plenty of times, but I have to say I was one of these OCD characters so when I used to have that and I don't have time, I used to bring the patient in during my lunch break or at the end of my session, because my head would say, you need to know more. And 99% of the time I would be right. There would be something there that needed, you know, more information on. So that's,
yeah, but you can't get that, I don't think, from this, from this. Would you agree, Steph, that you've had plenty of people who you just got a feeling about, which isn't really very scientific in one way?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, from a health coaching point of view, we do get taught to kind of look for the barriers, and a lot of us are doing health coaching qualifications and adding to our original qualifications. But I think Deshi's taking it a bit one step further into really looking at the thoughts and the feelings that could be going
absolutely.
On.
Absolutely, because I think that those health coaching courses are good for that. They're just like, actually I did, you know, which sounds awful, life coaching is an American thing. 20 years ago they were talking about life coaching, but it's really very much about those physical, you know, it comes actually, you know, interesting, and this is controversial of course because that's my middle name, but it's very much a male energetic thing, you know, I think, which is like, you've got a problem, let's identify that, you know, it's like, let's identify what the blocks are, let's undo the without actually the sort of other side, the yin and the yang to that, which is all about the energetic female side, which goes, my intuition says something's wrong, which is based nothing in what you can see. It's all based on that feeling. Yeah. So, of course, that is what lies beneath the water, which is what you're looking at, Deshu, there, you know, with your approach to this. Well, I'm really excited by this conversation. Is there anything else at this point you'd like to add? And we must, you know, pursue this further, you know, with the action points that I've mentioned, because I think, you know, it could be very exciting for us at the network to start you off, Deshi. Obviously, you take it from there. And Steph, you know, obviously, you know, I think it's really great for you to be involved as well. So is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'll wait to hear from you. Let's do some sessions. I'm excited.
Perfect. Well, I will get the love. I'll do it now before I forget. So if you don't hear from me, follow up with me, because I'm, you know, I can get distracted, but I'll do it right now so I don't get distracted. And I'll follow up with Annalie, and you too can go out on the Facebook, you know, with a bit of consideration and ask people, you know, maybe around the time that this talk is published, I think would probably be the best, because then you get a bit of traction with the conversation that we're having. So, I'll CC you into Annalie, and we'll get something started. And definitely, you know, how often you want, actually, Deshi, but, you know, every 6 weeks, I think that would be great, you know. Yeah. And we can talk about some of these hubs that we mentioned and, you know, and get people interested to pursue it further.
Yeah. Would you be able to send me a link to your Facebook group?
I'll get Annalie to do that, and you're welcome to join. I mean, you know, obviously the sponsors get a little bit, you know, hot under the collar if people are massively promoting themselves, but there are subtle ways of doing that, as you know, and I know you ladies aren't going to do that, so obviously it's about asking some questions, giving people valuable information, and we can go from there. But definitely having a GP on board is so exciting as well, so thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Well, listen, go well, and may the force be with you. And we'll connect really soon. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Deshu and Steph, for being such stars. And I'm really excited about to see what you produce. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right. Go well.
Angie, bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody. That was lovely. So.